Good question. What this gentleman wants to know is, what is the purpose of the suit? To destroy the church and destroy L. Ron Hubbard by dragging his name through the mud? Or to put it back in hands that will follow the creed? Is that a fair statement? The purpose, as I said, is to correct injustices, to repay the funds for people who want them repaid, to return PC files to people who want their PC files back, to enjoin harassment, to seek an accounting, and if those people who are in control have breached their fiduciary responsibilities, to remove them. Now, as a practical matter, to answer this gentleman's question, the bank account, the building, as he pointed out, the classes are ongoing. They still exist. So as a practical matter, who administers? Who becomes management? And the answer is, the court can appoint a receiver to monitor management, to prevent fiduciary breaches. So that if, for example, it is found that David Miscavige or Norman Starkey or Pat Croker, whoever, have breached fiduciary responsibility and are removed, the court can decide who should at least monitor the assets, the building. And in that sense, the church could continue during the purpose of the suit, during the process of the suit. If ultimately it is determined that all the money is returned and all the PC files are returned and there are no assets left, and that people don't want that kind of a church, then in the sense that you visualize the church over there, there'd be no church. But in the sense that there are people like yourself who want a church, who want to follow the creed, you'll have a church. And you'll have the money to run the church. What the law can do for you is to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to render unto God the things that are God's. For all those concrete overts that are legally cognizable, it can correct those problems. What the law cannot do is interfere in church administration on religious matters. But just for a moment, let's look into that. David Mayo is being sued because he created what we'll call a splinter church, who believed that he had the right to practice Scientology, as the creed says. David says that his is the true Scientology. David Miscavige, who says that I have to charge $500,000 or whatever, $87,000 for solo knots through the levels, that's Scientology. The church, run by David Miscavige, which says that I am destroying religion, which says that the law should have no part in how churches are run, and should not interfere with churches. That church with David Miscavige, who preaches in freedom all the time those premises, has sued in a court of law what I understand to be a very able, and spiritually energetic man, David Mayo. Who had the courage, notwithstanding his allegiance and affinity to L. Ron Hubbard, notwithstanding all of the things that he built, he had the courage to leave and to pursue the creed. And now this church with David Mayo, Miscavige, says to this church with David Mayo, the law says, and we're going to use the law because we've got all these lawyers and all this money to prevent you from doing OT3 and solo knots or whatever you want to do. Because your religious exercise is wrong. And our religious exercise is right. That's why there was the Declaration of Independence. That's why the pilgrims left England. Religious oppression in the history of man, if you really analyze it, does not generally arise from the secular realm. It arises from other religions who say, our religion is the true religion. Scientology is the only method of achieving ultimate freedom. There are no other religions. If you don't obey Scientology, you are a suppressive person. If you don't believe in Scientology, you're an SP. Fair game. Religions have always done that to other people who sought to correct injustices in religious institutions when they saw them. David Mayo, I submit, was a courageous person. The church now tries to prevent him from exercising his religious rights with the law that they say shouldn't even be used in religious affairs. It's ridiculous. The whole premise is ridiculous. The inconsistency, the falsehoods, the lack of common sense in their position, I submit is obvious to anyone. And it is proof in the pudding that you people are the church, that you people have the right to have these questions answered. To answer the last part of his point, if in your class you think it is appropriate to inquire into representations or misrepresentations about L. Ron Hubbard's background, it is your choice. Would L. Ron Hubbard have called it dragging his name through the mud? When you, in an auditing session, are worked over by an auditor, to use that term, is your name being dragged through the mud? Is what you've done being dragged through the mud? Your intention and the auditor's intention is to help you by confronting the mud in your lives, so that you can get rid of the mud. If you did this, perhaps L. Ron Hubbard's legacy would be that, yes, the man lied, but I've lied too. He screwed up, but I've screwed up too. But he kept striving and working, and he had a lot of problems in his life, and he had to work very hard to overcome them. And he worked so hard that he did create some tech that sometimes worked for him and sometimes didn't work for him. And eventually, his problems got bigger than his own solutions, which it happens to all of us, cyclically, in our lives. But if what he created in the tech was bigger than the lies, then that will be the legacy. And his name will not be dragged through the mud. Your class will evidence that there are bigger issues, that life for fear works, that self-confrontation works, that seeking after expansion of your consciousness works, and that those are more important than whether he was a war hero. And that's what will happen. And that will be the legacy. And one further point. If the Armstrong documents continue to be concealed, the foreign investigators continue to be used, the armies of lawyers continue to suppress the documents, the legacy will be that suppression and that control and that manipulation and that greed and that intolerance. And people will say that L. Ron Hubbard, who copyrighted the fair game doctrine, left a bigger legacy with the fair game doctrine than he left with OT3, which he copyrighted. It's in your hands. If David Miscavige and this group that is currently doing what they're doing don't communicate with you, don't solve these problems, continue to suppress your PC files for their own use, don't refund your funds, don't correct the injustices, that will be the legacy. If you people roll over on your backs, you will do a disservice to L. Ron Hubbard's tech, but you will leave intact his fair game doctrine.
Yes, sir.
I don't know yet. There have been lawsuits where that's been done. Jim Jones, for one. Jonestown litigation. And the fellow whose name was now escaping me, who left and was in Puerto Rico for a while, and Vesco, they succeeded in getting some of his money back from foreign bank accounts. How easy or difficult it's going to be, I don't know at this point. Orders, court orders, can be issued. to return those funds. The degree of enforceability of those court orders is troublesome because they're overseas banks. But the church is not just the bank account. The church is the copyrights, the books, the buildings, but more importantly, the people. And the people, as they swell up and control this situation, ultimately will control those bank accounts. How long it will take, I don't know. Yes, sir. Okay. All right, what this gentleman wants to know is, you have the Armstrong transcript and you have the Christofferson transcript, and the church is constantly trying to keep all this stuff sealed. And can you read them? And if you did, and if people who had been here tonight had read this stuff, if they sat down for 11 weeks and read and listened, the data is so hard and so good, you can't help but come away that someone's perpetrating a massive lie about where the money's going, what the money's being used for, what their true motives are, aside from the validity of the tech, which never even comes up in these cases, such as the Armstrong case. So he wants to know, can you get and can you read? You can get the Armstrong transcript. The trial was 5 or 6 weeks long. It's a massive document. You can read it. If you sat down and read it from cover to cover, and more importantly, if you could look at the 500 exhibits, some of which one exhibit alone are like 2,000 pages. And you could read this massive material that covers years, you know that it's not falsified. It's not created by some mythical governmental agency to ruin the repute of L. Ron Hubbard of the church. That is so ridiculous in the face of the common sense and reality of the evidence. It becomes inescapable that all these what I'm telling you is true. It becomes inescapable. Now, we've only got a few more minutes, and one thing I would like you to do, which could be very helpful, we're going to hand out some pieces of paper. You don't have to do it tonight. You can take them and you can get them back to Valerie. Some of you may have no incidents of harassment. Some of you may have just telephoned, subtle things. But we would like you to write down any incidents that have occurred in your lives which you did not want done to you, which were foisted upon you by the organization under its current management. Whether it's the failure to return your PC files when requested, destroying them, using them, not giving you your money back, not doing things that you thought were appropriate, or just overtly harassing you. Now, there's so many of you, there may be very few instances of real hard, cold harassment. There may be other instances where there's a lot, such as to Mr. Nataro and to others. But if there are any, if you could write them down and give them to Valerie, they would be very helpful. No matter how insignificant you might think they are, they would be very helpful. You can get the Armstrong transcript. You can get it from Brenda Yates. I believe it's available, but I'm not quite sure whether they got it sealed or not. I'm not sure, but something in me tells me they tried and they did not get it. But I'm just not sure. That can be easily found out, and you can ask Valerie. Yes, ma'am.
Yes,
There are many ways to say things, and there are many ways to look at facts, and they get interpreted in our own consciousness. And sometimes they can, what is a pile of cow dung to one person may be the chips for a fire for a Hindu mystic. The motives and intent behind the people in making the observations then become critical. If he causatively left his body under circumstances that most people, in simple, plain language, would say suicide, that would be one way to interpret what has been said. It would be a way to explain what occurred in their language. The circumstances would then become critical of why it happened, and whether it was done as such a high fader that he just dropped the body, as they say, or whether it was done like other people who jump off bridges because they've given up hope. They're lost. Their lives have become lies. And they find nothing in their spirit to keep them going. If I were a Scientologist, that would become a fundamental inquiry for me. And know the answer to that question. Yes, sir. We are going to make an effort to obtain all of the evidence that surrounds the what I consider to be extremely bizarre circumstances surrounding his death, including the photographs, the blood samples, etc. Yes, sir. No. Anywhere in the world. Yes, sir. Am I going to become involved? Yes. Yes, ma'am. Good question. I don't know yet. Either the L.A. Federal District Court, the L.A. Superior Court, which is the state court, or the Tampa Federal District Court, the flag is for international Scientology. Oh, yeah. As a practical matter, the court will control notification to members, potential members, all of those issues. Once you get your group together, the court will then monitor all of those issues. Yes, sir. The more money you can raise, the more vitality you will give to the suit. Because local lawyers are going to want cash retainers. And they're going to want a lot, because the case is going to be heavily litigated. Upfront money, a minimum of $50,000. Long-term money, $200,000 and more. Get off the ground money, to just perhaps file, anywhere between $25,000 and $50,000. But even if you collected $25,000, you would have to know that within a very short period of time, you'd need $50,000. Because the church, and see, this will give you some magnitude of what you're doing. In one case alone, the church, by my own estimate, of the many suits being litigated, with the 10 and 12 or 12 lawyers they've had involved, has spent millions
of your money to prevent Paulette Cooper from having her day in court, to prevent Lavenda Van Shike, Tanya Burden, from having their day in court, to put Jerry Armstrong through what he was put through. They are powerful. They have huge amounts of money. They can hire endless lawyers. So you have to become powerful. But you created it. And you can become equally, if not greater power, more powerful, because right is now on your side. Yes, sir. Good question. Real positive. The David Mayo suit is a very important lawsuit because it involves freedom to use the Knox material that those people in the David paid for. It's imperative that David win that lawsuit. One of the fundamental issues that should have been addressed, in my judgment, in that lawsuit had I been involved, was who owns Knox? The issues were cast that the church owned them, that David participated in the creation of them, but that he basically reconstructed them after he left. That is not the cast that should have been created. The cast that should have been created is that David owned them. His members own them. The church doesn't own them any more than he does. The challenge that should have been mounted on a multi-dimensional basis at the outset of that lawsuit was, you're suing me saying I can't use Knox. I'm suing you saying you don't own Knox. We own Knox. There were pleadings that potentiate that cast, but that is not actually what occurred in the suit. In the framework of the pleadings and the framework of the evidence was not created in that way. I believe David is still going to win on appeal because the law is in his favor. I hope, and I have not seen the record yet, that was created so far in the litigation to support his appellate claims, his claims on appeal. But if the record is sufficient, I hope, and being an anti-religious person, I pray that he win the lawsuit. The class, even if he loses, could come along and say, the church does not own Knox. You could help David Mayo suit. You could challenge ownership. Very interesting question. In the 1770s, there were many people who owned farms, big farms, and had a lot to lose if they sided with George Washington and Alexander Hamilton and the others. They stood to lose their farms, their lives, to be hanged. There were many, I'm sure, who were on the fence after Yorktown, even after the Articles of Confederation, even after it appeared that the colonists were going to win. Truth and freedom are jealous mistresses. In their powerful elixir. And if you believe in them, as those early people did, you sign the scroll at the outset. Some may be more timid, but for those who want truth and justice, you come out of the closet now. You don't stay on the fence. You recognize the injustices and you correct them. You don't have the courage to do it now, as this gentleman talked about, and again, I pray that you'll have the courage in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming.